Okay, so we're starting on Brachos, Daf Samach Aleph on the base. Six lines down, the first word is Tanya. So Tanya Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. We were discussing previously about the Yetzirah, and we're continuing to discuss more discussion about the Yetzirah. So the Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Tzadikim Yetzir Tov Shoftan. If you're the Tzadikim, what drives them, what like controls their thought, their actions? The Yetzir Tov, that's what it means. Shoftan, it controls their, it rules over them and controls what they do. How do you know this? Shenemar says, "Belibi chalal bekirbi." This is David Melch says, "Belibi chalal bekirbi," meaning that my heart is like it's dead inside. Rashi explains. Look at the Rashi on the side of the page. Rashi says, "Yetzer hara harehu kemes bekirbi." The yetzer hara, which is seated in the heart of a man, which usually, like, you know, your heart pulls you sometimes to do the wrong thing. So David Melch is saying that the yetzer hara is like it's dead in my heart. Because I can overcome, I can control the Yetzer Hara. So that's the what the pasuk is trying to tell us, which shows us that the tzaddik has the complete control of the Yetzer Hara. Another, that's Rashi's pshat. I saw another pshat, meaning that, in other words, that you're able to subjugate, you're able to like kill the Yetzer Hara essentially, and the only thoughts that are like driving what you do is the Yetzer Tov. But another pshat I saw some people say is that rather than killing the Yetzer Hara, a person is able to take sometimes, like, you know, the Yetzer sometimes drives you for honor, sometimes drives you for monetary gain. There's other thoughts. They try to explain different. But sometimes a tzaddik is able to serve Hashem both with the Yetzer Hara and with the Yetzer Tov. He's able to take sometimes passions and things which are negative and turn them around towards the Avodas Hashem. And that even that is able, with the entire heart, with the entirety of one's heart, he's able to serve Hashem. Where we see this? In davening, we say, V'tahir libeinu la'avdecha be'emes. V'tahir libi means that purify my heart in the way that my Yetzer Hara and my Yetzer Tov, both combined, both together, are helping me to serve Hashem. So that's another pshat in this line of the Gemara. The opposite is true of Rishayim. Rishayim Yetzer Ra Shoftan. When it comes to Rishayim, the Yetzer Hara is the one who's controlling all their actions. Shenamar says in the pasuk, Ne'um pesha l'rasha bekerav libi. It says that in my heart, what happens is the evil, the Pesha, is saying to the Rasha in his heart, he's saying the following, Ein pachad elokim l'neged einai. The fear of God should not be in your eyes. In other words, when you're serving Hashem, don't have any fear of Him. When you're thinking of what to do in life, don't worry about God. Don't worry about the pachad. Don't have any fear of Hashem in front of you. So in other words, for the Rasha, it's just the Yetzer Hara, there's nothing else. There's no fear of God. There's no Yetzer Tov. That's all there is. What's a Beinoni? Okay, you can imagine what Beinoni is. That's all, most of us, it's myself for sure. Zeh v'zeh, Shoftan. Both inclinations are pulling them. It's a struggle. There's a struggle. Shenemar Yamod Liyamin Evyon. Hashem stands on the right of the poor person, of the poor, of the one who's needs help. And what does he say? Lohoshia Mishoftin Afsho. He comes to save him from those who are shoftei nafsho. So Rashi points out the fact here we see a shofet, it would be singular, the rule that which rules over him, but shoftei is plural, which means that this person, this individual, has two things ruling over him. He has the Yetzer Hara pulling him and the Yetzer Tov pulling him. He's got both. So that's why Hashem is coming to try and help, to add on top of help in terms of getting the person to do the right thing. But again, a Beinoni is someone who has pulled in two directions. So Amar Rava. Rava said, actually, some people say it's Rabba. We'll see why in a minute, because it's Abaye responds. Rabba was his Rebbe. So most people, they change the gear, so it's Amar Rabba. Kigon Anu Beinonim. Like me. I'm someone who's a Beinonim. I'm like an average guy. I'm like, you know, Rabba. Right? The great Amar. Okay. So you know, you can imagine what his Talmud is. So Abaye, Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says, Rebbe, if you're the Beinonim, if you're the average guy, Leishavik Marachai L'Chobiria, then we're all toast. In other words, if you who learn Torah all day long and you have tremendous Yir Shemayim and you're saying you're the Beoni, what does it mean about us? No, we can barely, we're like nothing then. We're off. Exactly, shop liver. So in other words, maybe we should recalibrate that calculus there. Again, what some people say is that Rabba was trying to say that he had to. I saw different. Some say he was from the children. Rabba was a descendant of Eli HaKohen. Eli HaKohen, because of the sin that he did and his children in the Beit Mikdash, he was punished that his descendants would live a short life, and that unless they were osik in Torah, unless they were learning Torah, they would live a short life. So when Rabbah was saying, my desire to learn is partially self-serving because if I learn, I'm going to live. As a descendant Eli, I'm cursed to live a short life unless I learn. So I'm learning because I want to learn, and I'm learning because I want to live a long life. So I'm abandoning because I have even my Sahara wanting me to learn. Okay, that's one shot. I think another shot is that, you know, we tend to think of tzaddikim as perfect. They don't even have a bad thought in their mind. In other words, we struggle. I know I struggle with all sorts of challenges in terms of trying to, do I want to learn now? Am I going to say the right thing? That juicy Lashon Hara, I just heard they want to repeat. That's things we struggle with. But the truth is we tend to think that great tzaddikim, they don't struggle at all. They just have, they do everything because it's their nature. It's their natural inclination to want to do everything right. And what Rabbi is saying is that he too struggles. He too, to be a great person doesn't mean that it was easy for them. It was hard for them too. And just like it's hard for us, we can recognize that let's say it this way, that we too can reach that level. Because if we were to think that our great rabbis, our great teachers, had an easy street, then it's very easy for us to say, I'm not going to grow in Torah. I'm only on this level. I'm never going to get any higher because I struggle. And therefore, to know, I think, to know that our gedolim, our great rabbis, to know that they have struggled as well, I think is helpful to us to achieve the next level also, to push ourselves more, because we know it's not just me. We have the ability to grow. Okay, let's continue.
This is expression, but la'olam yirei adam atmo lo rasha lo zakai. Right in the middle. So.
Yeah, no, you. I know. No, of course.
Sorry, but I will take you up on this.
No,
sorry about that.
Absolutely, don't apologize. Don't apologize. This is a better one. This is good. Shabtai is not apology. You have nothing to apologize for. Yes, 100%. Okay. So, yeah.
For him to know that every mitzvah or havera can tip him.
Yes.
To this side of the other.
That's also a good shot. Yeah. No, wait.
There is an expression that is. Every person has to see himself.
As if. Not
Russia and not the Zakai.
Like Beoni.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember. Okay, V'amar Rama Rava. Le'ivra Alma el l'rishai gemur o l'tzadiki gemur. Rava says that this world was only created. When we say this world, we mean this world of the Olam Hazeh and the Olam Haba. So the Olam was either created for Rishayim or for Tzadikim Gemurim. What does that mean? So that we're going to give an example in a second, but it means that if you're a Rasha, Hashem wants to give all of your reward in this world. So that all the pleasures and the great benefits and the whatever that Hashem can give someone good in this world, it's really for the Rishayim. He wants to give them all their reward. If a Rasha does the good thing, a Rasha Gemur does the good thing, he wants to give all of his reward in this world, so then when he gets the world to come, any good deed that he did is already taken care of. You got the reward for that, and there's nothing left other than Ganem for that person. And for a tzaddik, there's nothing in this world for him, because Hashem wants to save all of the reward, all of the merits, all of the zechut that a tzaddik has accomplished in this world, to save that reward for the world to come. He doesn't want to give the tzaddik material benefits in this world, so that when he gets to the world to come, he can only give him the reward for that which he did. And the example is as follows. Amar Rav, well, Ivri Alma El Achav Ben Omri. He said that this world was only created for Achav. Achav was one of the kings of the 10 tribes. He was Malchi Yisrael, who, with his wife Yizevel, caused many, many Jews to serve Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara records that he's one of the people who have no portion in the world to come. So therefore, where did his portion come from? It was in this world. His great wealth, all of the wealth that he had and material that he had was whatever reward he deserved, he got in this world. When he has therefore no portion of the world to come. The opposite is Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is for Olam Hazeh. What is Hanina ben Dosa? Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, the Gemara records, Dailo b'kav charuvim, mishabes l'shabes. All he would eat, all he had to eat, was all he needed to eat, really, was kav charuvim, a certain measure of carob. That's all he ate all week. Otherwise, he was fasting. He fasted all the time. He had nothing really benefiting him in this world. All of his rewards was for the world to come. For the world to come. Okay, so that's the end of that discussion. We're now continuing with this actually a very interesting discussion and story. The Mishnah said, "The Ahavta Hashem Elokecha." The Mishnah quoted this pasuk as the source that person should go ahead and bless Hashem on that which something negative that befalls them, ra, like he was mevarach Hashem al Torah. So this pasuk is just like how you bless Hashem when something good happens. You have to bless Hashem when something bad happens. We said the blessing we make is Baruch Dayan Hamas. We have to it's a blessing, but you have to make it wholeheartedly in the same way. Now, how do you do this? The Gemara is going to discuss it, and it's going to discuss in the context of the Ahavtes Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha. Okay, so let's get into the discussion of that pasuk. So, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Im ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. It's the pasuk. Now the pasuk says b'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul, b'chol me'odecha, with all of your material possessions. Why does it have to say both? Im ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. If you have to give Hashem your whole being, then lam ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. Why me'odecha? Why does it have to say all of your resources? V'im ne'amar b'chol me'odecha. If it says all of your possessions, lam ne'amar, that you have to also give Hashem. You have to serve Hashem. V'yahavta. You have to love Him. B'chol nafshecha, with all of your own nefesh. Ella, im yishlecha adam, if you have a type of person, shegufo chaviv v'lav mimamono, he loves his own self more than his possessions. So in that case, l'kach nemar b'chol nafshecha, that we're speaking to that person because he loves himself more than anything else. Therefore, give of yourself, give all of yourself to Hashem. V'im yishlecha adam shemono chaviv v'lav migufo, if you have a person who cares more about his possessions, like almost like, you know, some people, they're workaholics. They drive themselves into the ground just so they can make the next buck, they make the next deal. Meanwhile, you see, what are you doing to yourself? You're killing yourself. You're losing, you have no life. You have no family. Your kids don't see you. Okay, that's a person who, for him, is chaviv mamono alav migufo. L'kach nemar, that's why the pasuk says, b'chom me'odecha means for him, you have to serve Hashem with all of your possessions because that's the greatest love in your life. I heard the pshat one time. The chol me'odecha means, the word me'odecha means from the root of me'od. What's me'od? Me'od is all of, me'od means that which is great. Oh, me'od, me'od, right? You know, say, oh, that's great. What's that good? Tov me'od. It's very good. So to all the things in your life that you say, that's wow, that's something. That's to me, that's me'od. I feel that's a big deal. It's important to serve Hashem with all of those things. With all the things that you personally, I mean, whatever it is, to some people, it's a big thing. You have to understand that sometimes you have to give that big thing up for Hashem. I remember when I was applying for residency in medicine, radiology, so there's only some programs that are Shomer Shabbos that would work out a program that would have to work on Shabbos, you know, and some of the more prestigious programs, that wouldn't be possible. So I gave that up. I only applied to places. I only ultimately ranked the places that would be of the places where I wouldn't have to work on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And that's how I kind of ranked my list, according to that. Giving up the prestige, the places you would sell. I remember someone mentioned to me that shot, me'odecha, for you, going to Harvard would have been me'od. Wow, that's prestigious. That's a lot. That's a big thing. You have to serve Hashem. Whatever for you has been like, wow, it's a big deal. But sometimes you have to give that up in the service of Hashem. That's me'odecha. Serve Hashem even with that which is me'od for you. So that's another shot. But anyhow, so we're talking about different types of people here. Rabbi Akiva Omer, what's b'chol nafshecha? With all of your nefesh. So he explains, afilo no telas nafshecha. You have to serve Hashem even if it takes your life. Even if it takes your life. And we're going to have this following amazing story, which if you don't know, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. This is the story. Tanu Rabbanan. There was one time where the wicked kingdom, this is the Roman kingdom. The Gzer Malchus Harasha Shul Yasku Yisrael B'Torah, that they did not let Bnei Yisrael learn Torah. B'Papus Ben Yehuda, U'Mitzal Rabbi Akiva Shai Machil Kihilos Rabin V'Osek B'Torah. Papus Ben Yehuda saw and he found Rabbi Akiva he had large crowds, he was gathering together to teach them Torah against the Gzera of the Malchus that one was not allowed to teach Torah. Amar Le Akiva, he said to him, Akiva, Yata Mitzari Mifna Malchus, aren't you fearful of the king, of the kingship who says what you're doing is illegal? Are you scared about what they're going to do to you? Maybe you should, what he's implying is, maybe you should consider not to teach so much Torah. Have smaller crowds, or don't hold them at all. So Amar Lo, Rabbi Akiva says to him, I want to give you an example, a parable, as to what this is similar to. Lishu'al, Shai Mahalacha Gavanar, there was a fox that was walking along the riverbank. The Ra'a dug him, Shayim, the captain, in Makom the Makom. He saw there a fish, you know, a school of fish. It kind of darts from one side of the river to the other side of the river, and like a, they kind of jumping around. And why are they jumping around? Why are they fleeing from something? So Amar Lahem, Mipnei Ma'atem Borchim, why are you kind of jumping around? You're not swimming normally, you're jumping around different parts of the river. Amrulo, the fish responded to the fox, Mipnei Rishtos Shemavim Aleim B'nei Adam. We're scared of the nets, which are cast in the river in different spots to catch us, that man sets to catch us. Amar Lahem, so the fox says, okay, I got a great idea for you. Ritzonchem Shita'alu V'yavashav V'nidor Ani V'atem V'nidor Ani V'atem K'shem Shedaru Avosai Im Avoseichem. Come onto the land. I'll come on my back. I'll take care of you the same way our forefathers used to live in harmony together. Don't worry about man. I'll come out of the river. I'll take care of you. So Amru Lo, the fish said to him, wait a second. Atau she'omri malecha pikech shebechayot. They say the fox is supposed to be the slyest, right? The smartest. You're supposed to be the smartest of all the animals. Lo pikech ata el tipesh ata. You're not so smart. You're kind of stupid in this way. Because we realize, uma b'makom chiyusenu, in the place where we live, not just live, the place which gives us our life, right? The water for the fish isn't just happens to be the place they live. It is the only way they can live. The fish need the water to survive. So anu misyarim, in this place which gives us life, it sustains us, the water sustains us, we can breathe in the water, yet we're still scared. B'makom misasenu, but in the place where we will die, out of the water, fish out of the water, right? Achaskama v'kama. Achaskama v'kama, how much more so we have to be fearful of our lives. So it makes no sense to leave the environment which gives you life, even though it's a scary place sometimes, than to go to a place where you will die, where there's no life. There's no life-sustaining force in that place. So Rabbi Kiva says, Af anachnu, achshav, sha'anu yoshim ve'oskim b'torah. If I'm in a place and I'm learning Torah, which is giving me life, kihem chayin, we're about to quote the pasuk. Shenemar, it says in the Torah, regarding learning, kihu chayecha ve'orah chemecha. Torah is your life and what lengthens your days. It is what sustains us. Learning Torah is what sustains our life. And we're scared, we're fearful in that place. Kach im anu hochim u'mevatim memena. So that if I do the opposite, and I go put myself in a circumstance where I'm not learning Torah at all, now I have no life-sustaining force. Should I not be even more scared of my life, of losing my life? Achas kam v'kam, I'm going to have no life. I'm going to have nothing that sustains me. So, of course I'm going to continue to teach Torah, because at least I'm in my place. At least I'm in what gives me my life. So Amru, they said, Lohayi yami mu'atim. Not many more days passed since that conversation. Ashit tafsuhu l'Rabbi Akiva, until that government, that evil, wicked empire, they took Rabbi Akiva, v'chavshuhu v'veis ha'asurim, and they put him in jail. V'tafsu l'papios ben Yehuda, and they also took Papios ben Yehuda, v'chavshuhu etlo, and they put him in the jail with Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Papus, mi'ad yechalakan, who brought you to jail? Amar Lei, Papu said to Rabbi Akiva, Asherecha Rabbi Akiva, how praiseworthy is you, Shenitpasa Adivrei Torah, that you were brought into jail, you were captured because you were trying to teach Torah. So you know something? You're being punished, but it's for a tremendous zechus. Oy lo lepapius, about himself, he's saying about himself, Oy lo lepapus, Shenitpas al Dvarim Betalim, that I was thrown to jail for not, for something Dover Batel, for something that's not everlasting like teaching Torah. Vishal Shosiwa Rabbi Akiva Lahariga, by the time they were taking Rabbi Akiva out to kill him, Zman Kriyashma Haya, it was the time of Kriyashma, Vahusorkim is Besarb Masreko Shabarzal, and they were combing his flesh to torture him with combs, with iron combs to flay his skin, to torture him. Vahayu Mikablan Allah Omachu Shemayim, and Rabbi Akiva at that time was accepting him upon himself, the Yoke of Heaven, what does that mean? Kara Kriyashma, he was reading the Kriyashma at the time of his death. At the time of his torture, Amr lo Tamide Tamidav, Rebbe Adkan. This is when you need to say Kriyashma. Really, at this moment, Amar lahem. He said, Rabbi Kiva responds to students, Kol yamai hayisi mitzayir al pasuk zeh b'chol nafshecha, afil noitel nafshecha. I mean, my whole life, I always taught, whenever I taught this pasuk, I taught that the explanation means you have to love Hashem with all of your soul, even if it takes your soul, even if you have to be killed. But Amarti, I said, matay yavul liyadi ve'kaimena. When will I have the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah, this pasuk of Hashem? In fact, some say that if those who are martyred, those who are martyred for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of God, there is actually a bracha. There's a bracha to be made because you're fulfilling a mitzvah. You're fulfilling a mitzvah. Va'afes Hashem elchacha b'chol nafshecha. Hamekadesh es shemo barabim. Baruch at Hashem alkeinu melech olam. Asher kishal mitzvosa mitzvanu lekadesh shemo barabim. Can you imagine me?
I'm not going to do that.
Okay, not going to do it. My great grandparents were killed in Auschwitz. Kiddush Hashem. We have,
you know,
not, it's not ancient.
Do whatever they say and then flee.
It depends on the circumstances. That's if they give
you
a chance.
Get yourself killed.
That's if you get a chance. The Jews in the Holocaust, they weren't given the opportunity to flee. If they were rounded up, brought to the concentration camp.
Yeah, that's not a typical.
That is Kiddush Hashem also. They were certainly Mekadesh Hashem. But that's still Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem doesn't always mean you have the option.
So what is that?
Rabbi Kiva did not have the option. He tried to, I'm sure, escape from it. He tried. But we already know that that's not an option. You already explained. You're Emshel HaMashal. He already told you why that's not an option.
No, Rambam said, flee the area.
Okay.
Don't stay there. The
Roman Empire was very big. There's not many places for him to flee.
Right.
But anyway,
so,
what is the halacha in Omaisa nowadays?
When it comes to, so the halacha is, without, I mean, again, it's a lovely topic.
Like in a communist,
But in terms of giving your life for Kiddush Hashem, whenever there's, generally speaking, whenever it's the three big sins, the three cardinal sins of Shichus Damim, Gilei Arayos, and Avodah Zarah, if they still tell you, you kill somebody or we're going to kill you. Or they say to you, worship Avodah Zarah or we're going to kill you. Or they say to you, be over on illicit relations or we're going to kill you. So then in those cases, you have to give your life and not violate the cardinal sin, those three cardinal sins. In addition, generally speaking, whenever there is a situation where they ask you to violate a mitzvah, even if it's one of the more minor mitzvahs, but in a public way, specifically because they want to demonstrate that the Torah is nothing, and they want to make a public display about you violating Torah, that also is one which is yahareg ve'al yavor. You have to give yourself to be killed and not violate that mitzvah. Again, there's further discussions about what about if they're going to torture you as opposed to just kill you. There is what to discuss, but it's a bigger sugya. And what are the exact circumstances that if it's a shas hashma, then it's a different befarhesia. But the basic idea is that there are certain sins for which one is obligated to not violate and give your life. Otherwise, we say, violate your life, violate the mitzvah, and live and fulfill more other mitzvahs in the future. But in this case, and in many, many, many cases across the centuries, millennia, Jews weren't given choices. Jews were martyred in the name of God because they were Jewish. Not because they had a choice, not because they told them, do this or we'll kill you. They simply said, we're going to do a pogrom. The Cossacks and the Milkhart
Sure.
But for this, the halacha is in terms of the details, the big three cardinal sins, and then anything that's just in public, a public display of violating Hashem, a public display if they want to make that kind of show, would also be one you should not violate them.
That's why modern Orthodox is called Bnei Akiva. We're all Bnei Akiva. Unless we are Haredi. We're not Haredi, we are Bnei Akiva.
All Bnei Akiva. Okay, continue. So it continues. Amru Mache Shari. So as this was happening. Oh, sorry. Let's go back. I skipped one line. So Rabbi Kiva said, the Achshav Shabal Liadi, now they have the chance to Mekadesh Hashem. Loi Kemena, I shouldn't take the opportunity to be Mekadesh Hashem. Rabbi Kiva, at the end of Shema, he said echad, and he lengthened the echad as you're supposed to, az shiyasa nishmato be'echad, so that his soul departed as he was finishing completing the word echad. Yes, the batkol, a batkol came out, a heavenly voice cried out and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Kiva, shiyasa nishmato be'echad, that your soul has left you with echad, with the word echad. Amru mache shar sapeh kosh baruch hu. This we say in the piyut, of the Asar Harugi Malchus, that the Malchus Shar is called out to Hashem and says, Zu Torah v'zu Schara. This is the Rabbi Kiva who taught so much Torah, and this is what he's getting. He's being tortured to death. It's like just such a hard thing to accept. So the pasuk says, Hashem responds, Mimtim. Yaza Hashem, Mimtim, and the pasuk continues, Mecheled Chalkam Bechayim. So what it means is, better than dying, it's better to die of Hashem's hand, Mimtim Yaza Hashem, it's better to die from Hashem's hand, Mimtim, than to die Mecheled, from old age. It's better to die from Hashem's hand than to die just from old age. Okay, the Gemara continues and explains, Amar Lahem, Hashem said to him, the explanation of the pasuk is, Chalkam b'chayim. Those who are killed because of Al-Kiddush Hashem, they are Chalkam b'chayim. Nafsham tzura b'tzura chayim. They continue to be in life in the world to come. Yat the batko, and the batko came out and said, Amracha, Ashrecha, Rekiva, Sha'ata, Mizuman l'chayil maba. Mizuman l'chayil maba means there's no court discussion about it. You know, people say that at the end of the life, they go in front of the heavenly court, and the heavenly court weighs the mitzvos, weighs the averos. The heavenly court is called, the batko is coming out and saying, Rabbi Akiva, your place is already waiting for you. There's no judgment that has to take place for Rabbi Akiva to decide whether or not he's worthy for Olam Haba. It's already waiting for him. Okay, now we're going to continue with the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Lo yakel adam es rosho keneged shar mizrach. When one is near the harabayit, so a person should not act lighthearted. Lo yakel adam es rosho, lighthearted. Now, anywhere in the Har Habayis, inside the Temple Mount, inside the Beis Hamikdash, you cannot be lighthearted. But even outside the Temple Mount, just outside the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, if you are opposite the Shar HaMizrach is the Eastern Gate. Because when you're standing at the Eastern Gate, what faces you is the west side of the Beis Hamikdash. The western side of the Beis Hamikdash was where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was, where the Heichal was, where all the main structure. So if you were standing at the Eastern Gate, what was facing you was the main holy part of the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, you cannot even be lighthearted and lightheaded on the outside of the Temple Mount, just facing the Eastern Gate. Shehu mechuvan, because it is opposite keneged Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. It is opposite the Beis Hamikdash. So we're going to discuss the details of this halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Lo amru ela me'atzofim b'lefnim. What we're talking about is when you're standing, not anywhere opposite the Eastern Gate, but when you're standing on the elevation, the tzofim, it's almost like Har Tzofim, when you're standing on the elevation, that from that vantage point, you can see into Har HaBayit. You can see into the Temple Mount through the Eastern side. Uberoeh, and when you're able to see, when nothing's blocking your view, there's no wall or some other hill or mound that's blocking your view, then you would be required to maintain a higher level of seriousness because of the place. Itmar Nami, furthermore, similarly says, Amr Rav Abba, Breder Yechaya Bar Abba, Hachi Amr Rav Yochan. Rav Yochan said the following, Lo Amru, this halacha that you have to be very serious, not lighthearted, is with regard to the following condition. It's minat sofim v'lifnim. It has to be when you're standing on this elevation, this overlook point, and inwards, Uberoeh, and you have to be able to see the Temple Mount. Ubishain Gezer, and when there's no fence blocking you and the Beis Mikdash. Ubizman Shashkina Shore, and also at the time that the Beis Mikdash is built, meaning nowadays when the Beis Mikdash is no longer standing, and Hashem's presence is not there in the same way as it was when the Beis Mikdash was standing. So this halacha only applies Bizman Beis Mikdash Kayam. The first opinion did not have this requirement. Okay, so let's continue. Tana Rabbanan. Furthermore, not only lightheartedness, but hanifne, if the person is to defecate. So this is saying the Yehuda. Yehuda was the portion of Eretz Yisrael, the tribe. We say, you know, the portion of Yehuda, we say, for example, Yehuda v'Shamron. The portion of Yehuda was Yerushalayim and an area south that ran east to west across Eretz Yisrael. That was the portion of the land of Israel that was Eretz Yehuda. The portion of the tribe of Judah was from Yerushalayim and south a little bit, a narrow strip. If you can imagine Eretz Yisrael being like a long like this, is Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is in the middle. So just southern below that is Judean desert. Below that, running across from east to west across Israel, from the sea across to the Jordan. That was the area, the general area of Shevet Yehuda. So if one is in that location, okay, they're to the south of the of Yerushalayim, they're to the south of the Beit Hamikdash. So in that way, it says, Lo yifneh mizrach u'ma'arav. You should not defecate facing east-west. Why? Because you're more likely, if you're, let's say, just south and then east of Yerushalayim, you shouldn't defecate in a way that exposes your body, either the front or the back, towards the Yerushalayim. Yifneh is defecate. Defecate. So relieve your bowels. Because in that situation, you're exposing, when one does that, their backside and their front side. So they shouldn't face east, or I mean north-south, because then you'll be, if you can imagine, this is Yerushalayim, this is Israel going like this, and you're over, Yerushalayim is in the middle here, and you're now positioned over here in Eretz Yehuda. If you position yourself east-west, you are now essentially facing your body towards, that's the level of seriousness you have in Israel. Therefore, you should instead defecate Tzafon v'Darom, north and south, which means that your side is facing towards the Beit Hamikdash, towards Yerushalayim. U'begalil, and if you're in the north of Israel, lo yifneh ela mizrach ma'arav, because you're much, much more further north. Now, the north of Israel went from Yerushalayim all the way up to the Galil, the Golan. That was all part of Israel. That was very high up, so you should not defecate east or west. Ella, you should only be east or west, because north-south, if you're in the north of Israel, you'd be north of Yerushalayim mostly, and if you're positioning yourself north-south, again, you're facing yourself towards the Beit Hamikdash. You should therefore turn east and west. Of course, they point out that if you're directly south of Yerushalayim, also, therefore, don't face east-west. I mean, sorry, you should face east-west, not north-south. But if you're off to the side, to the west or east, you should turn the other way. But the simple idea is that do not face the direction of the Beit Hamikdash in this case.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yossi's opinion, the first word in line is Rabbi Yossi Matir, Shai Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Asru Ella Biro'ed. The only time this halacha applies when you can see the Beit Hamikdash. Uvmakum She'en Sham Gadr, and when there's no wall. When you remember, in those days, they often relieve themselves in the open. They went to the forest and the trees. They didn't have a back house, an outhouse, and not a regular bathroom. Ubizman She'ashkin Ashora, and only Bizman Beit Hamikdash Kayam, only when the Beit Hamikdash was built and the Shekhinah was there in its presence. The Chachamim Osrim, but the Chachamim, they say even that is usur. No, you can't defecate in that direction. The Chachamim Hayat Tanakama, the Chachamim is the same opinion as what the Tanakama said. Tanakama, the first opinion recorded here in the Braisa, was that you should not face the Beit Hamikdash. Even if you're anywhere in the Eretz Yehuda or in the Galil, you have to face the perpendicular, the opposite way, so that your side is facing the direction of Yerushalayim. And the Chachamim or Ostrim, they seem to say the same thing. So what's the difference? The Gemara says, Ike benayhu tzedadim. The difference between the Chachamim and the Tanakama is the side. What does that mean, the side? So if you can imagine, this is Israel going north-south. So what the first opinion says is, yeah, everywhere here in the Eretz Yehuda in the south, all the way from east, all the way to west, the whole thing, you have to be careful where you're standing. And everything north, everything up here, you have to be very careful. The Chum say, no. If you're off to the side, meaning the center of your slime is here, and you're off to the southeast or all the way to the southwest, those sections are too far away. They're not anywhere directing near your Yerushalayim and positioning your slime. Then you can defecate any position, you don't have to worry. And if you're all the way north on the sides also, it doesn't make a difference. Only when you're in direct proximity, south directly, north directly, east directly, that's where we have to worry about the position that you do when you go to relieve yourself. Even if you can't necessarily see the Beit Hamikdash, and even if you cannot necessarily, the Shekhinah is not necessarily there. So let's continue. So Tanya, another bright Tanya, Hanifne Yehuda, if a person defecates in Yehuda, Lo Yifne Mizrach Ma'arav, you should not face east-west, because you're facing your body in position, in alignment, in the direction of the Beit Hamikdash. Elat Tzafon V'Darom. You should turn your side, turn sideways, which would be north-south. Ubegalil, and in the north of Israel. Safam Vidaro Master, you cannot face north south because you're in the north of Israel. If you face in the north south direction, you are positioning yourself again in the direction of Yerushalayim. And therefore that's Aser. Rather, you should be Mizrach Uma'arav Mutar. You should position yourself in a east west direction so that your body is to the side of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yossi Matir, again, this is what we have just read. Yossi's Matir, Shai Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Aser Ela Beroeh. It only applies where you can see the Beis Mikdash, when you're in the close proximity to its structure. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bizman Shi Beis Mikdash Kayam. It also applies only when the Beis Mikdash was built, only when it was in existence, not nowadays. That's when it's Aser. Bizman Shi Beis Mikdash Kayam Mutar. When there's no Beis Mikdash, it's mutter to position yourself in any way, even directing the position towards the position towards Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva Oser B'chomakom. Rabbi Akiva said, anywhere you cannot position yourself in the direction towards Yerushalayim. So the Gemara asks again, Rabbi Akiva Hayu Tanakama. Rabbi Akiva would seem to be in the same opinion as the Tanakama. Why do we repeat Rabbi Akiva's opinion if he holds just like the Tanakama, who also says that you cannot face Yerushalayim all the time? So the Gemara answers, Ikiv and Ayu Chutzlar. Now, you know something? Rabbi Akiva wasn't just talking about Eretz Yehuda, and he wasn't just talking about the Galil. Rabbi Akiva says you cannot face the direction of the Beis Mikdash even if you're in Chutzlar. Even if you're in Bavel, even if you're in America, you're in Canada, wherever you are, you should not, if you know the direction of Israel, of Yerushalayim, you cannot defecate in that orientation. The Gemara tells the following story. Rabba, Havishadye Lebne Mizrach, Lebane Mizrach Amar. Rabba took the stones, like the stones that he would sit on to defecate. He positioned them, Mizrach Umarav, east-west, which meant he sat north-south. Meaning one stone was east, one stone was west, and his position was facing north-south. Okay, that's how he would sit on the stones of his bathroom. Excuse me. So, Abaye was wondering, before I tell you what Abaye did, Abaye was wondering, you know, the fact that his Rebbe positioned his stones in a way that he was not facing the direction of Yerushalayim. He faced himself sideways, perpendicular to Yerushalayim. Was that just by chance? Like, did he just happen to set it up that way? Like, that's just how the contractor built his bathroom? Or was that intentional in order to make sure that he would, even in Bavel, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, where he was trying to be careful not to face the direction of Israel when he was defecating? Shadyan means he would position. Shadyan means he would put. Livne means the stones, bricks. He put the stones, you know, they sat on a stone when they went to the bathroom. The b'nei is the stones, right? I'm sure that's how I translate it. Like, b'nei is the stones, I think. The b'nei is the bricks. He put the bricks of his... He didn't have a toilet. He sat on two stones, and that's how he went to the bathroom. So he positioned the stones like this. One stone east, one stone west, and therefore which way do you sit? North-south. Meaning this is... which way is east? This way is east, right? So if you put one stone like this and one stone like this, how would you sit? You sit with one side of your leg on this way, one side this way, and your body faces north-south. Hold on, let's get to halacha. Hold on, we're in the middle of the sentence. So first, Abai wants to know your question. Is Rebbe was makted? Was that like on purpose, or was that just by chance he put his stones this way? So you know Abai did? Abai shadinhu tzafam v'dorm. Abai went into his Rebbe's bathroom, turned it this way. He turned it the opposite way so that he would have to face the direction of Israel, of Yerushalayim. So he turned them north-south so that he would have to sit in the direction east-west of Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted to see, because in that way he would know. If his Rebbe still used the toilet in that position, he would know, he's not so careful about it. He's not halacha outside of Israel. And if he is careful about it, then he knows that, okay, I have to hold of this halacha. So what he did, listen, so you know what he did? So Al Rabba, Rabba went to the bathroom. Tetzrinhu! Amarman Haye Kemisarli. Who's messing with my bathroom stones and messing up my bathroom that I have to move the stones around to get them into the position? So he saw that his Rebbe holds like this. So he says, Anna, Rabba says, Anna Rabbi Akiva Sirli Damru Chamakam Asr. I hold like Rabbi Akiva, who says in any place the position has to be not facing Israel. So the poskim do say that lehalacha, since Rabba followed in practice like Rabbi Akiva, that we should follow also this practice of not facing the direction of Yerushalayim when we are going to the bathroom. However, they point out this was only true in the situation in those days where they were relieving themselves outside. Anytime you're in a structure, like in the side of a typical bathroom which has walls, then the position doesn't matter at all. Then any position is fine. So halacha, we do say that if you're in the exposed great wide open, then you should position yourself not facing Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
But if you are in any kind of enclosure, then any position doesn't matter. You have to worry whatever position is you're in. It's fine. Okay. All right, we'll stop over here.
Unbelievable.